Savior of your life. Or, Brother Frank, am I telling the truth? Or you don't get saved unless he's Lord and Savior. Amen. But somewhere along our life, we begin to let the Lordship of Christ down. We struggle with it. And therefore, we make mistakes. We do wrong. He's still Savior, but he may not be Lord. But buddy, I'm telling you, he was Lord and Savior that day or that night when you got saved. And you said, well, what do I need to do tonight? Make him Lord and Savior. It's a very simple expression, a return to our foundation. But that is what a revival and a camp meeting is all about. You will never, and think about this, you will never in your entire life be closer to God than when you first got saved. You'll never be any closer. You were right there. He was Lord and he was Savior. But we struggle with this flesh, and this flesh doesn't like having a Lord tell us how to live. Amen. So there's a warfare. The Bible teaches, read the book of Galatians, the Bible teaches us there is a warfare. And you can read 1st and 2nd Corinthians. There is a race to run. So while you're running your race, you got to fight the good fight of faith. Boy, the flesh just don't like all that. So it minimizes Christ as Lord. He's your Savior, but is he your Lord tonight? Camp meeting this week, if we have one, will be returning to your foundation. Getting that close to the Lord once again. I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles with me to John chapter number 2 tonight. John chapter 2. It's always a privilege for me to be able to come and kind of kick this camp meeting off. Our hearts need to be ready for when the preachers get here and we can have a spirit about us that will cause them to be comfortable and at home. And that's why we're here on a Wednesday night, why Brother Lawrence has asked me to come. I want to do one thing real quick before I begin to preach. Brother Frank, I want you to tell us about the last person you led to the Lord.
And she didn't do nothing about it for a week or two, but she went to a Baptist ladies' meeting, and the preacher's wife got up and said, if there's anybody here that's not received the Lord, Jesus is knocking at the door, you asked him to come in. She got saved in that meeting and come back and told me, I'm baptized.
Amen. Amen, Brother Frank. That's what it's all about. The spirit that is in this room needs to be in the community. Needs to be in the community. When we have prayer, we need to pray that some way God will teach us how to get him out of this room and into the community. So I believe that a real move of God goes through the pulpit, lands on the pew, and ends up in the public. That's a real move of God. So this week, while we have camp meeting, try to think on that little statement, a return to your foundation. I don't mean to belittle or spend a lot of time with it, Brother Lawrence, but I can't help but think how much of our Bible we read when we first got saved. Do you remember how we wanted to learn? Now we think we know what it says. Pray. Do you remember your first prayer you ever prayed after you got saved? I do. I remember bowing my head and tears were dropping on the floor. And I said, Lord, I don't know how to do this. But I said, I need to talk to you about something. And if I'm not doing it right, you tell me so I'll know how to do it. And I talked to God, and He listened to me. Remember how we just wanted to pray and read our Bible and then tell someone else about Jesus? I couldn't wait to get to my brothers and tell them what great things the Lord hath done. Somewhere along the line, we've lost that edge. So we need to return to our foundation. To our foundation. All right, John chapter 2. Look with me in verse number 1 of John chapter 2. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. When they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there was there set six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. He saith unto them, Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And the ruler of the feast, or when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man, at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory. And his disciples believed on him. Let's bow, please, for prayer one more time. Our Father, we thank you for this time of prayer. For this time, Lord, of Bible reading publicly. We thank you for America. Lord, she's not all that she ought to be. But it's still the greatest nation on the face of this earth. I'm grateful that I was born and raised in America, where I can hear about Jesus and invite you into my life to be my personal Savior. We thank you for that. You have brought every one of us further than we ever dreamed we would go. You have gotten more out of us than we imagined that we had. So we're thankful for the day we met you. Bless now, Lord, this portion of the Bible. May it reach out tonight and find a lodging place in the heart of thy people. Lord, I pray for this week of camp meeting. Lord, that you would send a spirit of preaching in this pulpit and a spirit of hearing in the pew. And may we see a great camp meeting as we come together. Watch over the preachers and singers as they journey in tomorrow. We'll thank you, Lord, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In this miracle that I've read to you tonight, Jesus does a very simple thing. He takes water and converts it into wine. Now, the Bible tells us there were six water pots. Six is the number of man. And the six water pots had two or three firkins apiece after the manner of the purifying of the Jews. And the Pharisees had gotten so big into this ritual that it became a necessity before they would eat. When they went in, they would dip their hands in the two or three firkins of water and move to the next one. And when they came through the six water pots, they were given a napkin that they could dry their hands with. And every man had his own napkin. He would take that napkin to the table where he sat. And as long as that napkin laid there folded, then that napkin said to the servants, "This man may have gone to the bathroom or may have gone out and got a breath of fresh air, but the napkin is still folded. He's coming back. But if he took that napkin and wadded it up and cast it down, that servant knew that he was finished with the wedding. He had gone home." Well, there's a correlation in the resurrection of our Savior. For the Bible teaches us that when the Jews prepare the body in death, they wrap it around like a mummy. And they take a napkin and they put it over their face and wrap the linen around the napkin. And the Bible said that when Peter came into the tomb, he looked up where Jesus had been laying, and there he saw the napkin folded. Peter knew what that meant. He is not finished. He still has a job that he's going to do. He may have stepped out somewhere for a few minutes, but that napkin is folded. He still has a job to do. Well, that ministry of our Lord begins right here in John chapter 2 with his very first miracle that he performed. In this chapter, you have the only words of Mary that is recorded in the Bible. Now, there's a time where the disciples told Jesus, "Your mother and brethren are outside to see you." But for Mary to just speak to the Lord, this is that account of her voice. And when they ran out of wine, Mary went straight to Jesus. And she said, "They have no wine." Jesus kind of gave her a mild rebuke and said, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." I want you to notice in your Bible that when Jesus said those words to Mary, she spoke these words. Look at verse 5 in your Bible. "His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." You make sure that you notice that man. You make sure that you listen to that man. Whatever he has to say, it'll be right, it'll be the thing to do, it'll be the truth. So whatever he tells you to do, do it. Just obey this man. And the Bible says and describes the setting of the 6 water pots, of the water after the manner of the purifying of the Jews. And when Mary said to Jesus, "They have no wine," Jesus said, "Fill the water pots with water." Water is a picture of the Word of God. It is the number 6 water pots. A man made out of clay or the dust of the ground. And the water of the Word comes into our life. And it changes us from the person we was into the person we are now. None of us can claim glory for the good person we've turned out to be. The only reason we are the person we have become is because of this blessed Bible that I'm preaching tonight. And so our Lord said, "Fill the water pots with water." Did you notice where the Bible said they took it out and took some to the governor of the feast? And when he had drank the wine, the governor said, "Most men put the good wine out first, and then when men have well drunk, then that which is worse." But he complimented the young man and said, "Thou hast kept the good wine until now." Wine is a picture of joy. The joy that is down in our souls. Thank God for the joy of God. Amen. But the Bible tells us one little truth, and I want you to see it in your Bible. Look at verse number 9. "When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, knew not whence it was, That's important. What's this statement? But the servant which drew the water knew. That governor, all he knew was that was some good wine. As a matter of fact, that's the best wine. But standing over in the shadow of the governor are the servants. And the Bible tells us tonight that the servants knew where it came from. The servants knew. Boy, I want to tell you, God is doing a marvelous thing here. A miracle of water into wine. And the governor don't even know where it came from. But those servants poured the water in. And the Bible said, filled it to the brim. They got more water, poured number two, and filled it to the brim. They went down the line and filled all six of those water pots with water to the brim. And while they stood there, the Bible said they seen the miracle. They seen where the wine came from. The governor didn't know where it come from, but the Bible said the servants knew. I want to say to you, there are days upon days that God does miracles in our lives, and we miss who the author of that miracle is. But the servants, they knew where it came from. They knew that that water became wine. If God would help me for a little while tonight, I want to preach a sermon entitled, Seeing the miracles. Seeing the miracles. The same mistake that was made at this wedding is being done today in our generation. Do you know there are miracles all around you? Every day of your life, miracles occur. Let me get you started with this sermon tonight. Here's a miracle. Watch this. You said, well, Brother Hatfield, you just took a breath of air. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. But see, every day, you just breathe. Like God owes you breath. God owes you life. And you're right in the middle of a miracle. And you're like the governor. You knew not from whence it came. But I want to talk about seeing the miracle. I want to highlight those servants tonight in my message. Because none of them's name is ever mentioned. We don't know where they came from. We don't know anything about them. But there was enough about them by the words of Mary that when they stood there and watched that water turn to wine, every day, miracles are coming your way. Every day that you rise up and open those eyes and look out, that is a miracle. Ask Brother Steve Allen, when you get to heaven, how wonderful it is to be able to see. Brother Steve told me one evening, he said, "You've got something I don't have." I said, "What is that?" He said, "When you dream in color." I said, "Yes, sir. All my dreams are in color." He said, "Mine are black and white. I can't fathom red, green, or blue. I have no way in my mind to comprehend the difference between a red and a blue." He said, "All my dreams are black and white." Boy, could you just imagine that first day when Brother Steve Allen opened his eyes in heaven and he seen the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't you know that Steve probably said, "Show me what red looks like, Lord. Show me what blue looks like." But every day of our life, we breathe the oxygen and exhale the carbon monoxide. We open our eyes and behold that which is in front of us. Miracles are all around us. But we're just like the governor. We know not from whence it cometh. Seeing the miracle. If you go back up just a little bit, you'll be in chapter 1. Look with me in your Bible, if you will, in verse 46. Well, let's start in verse 44. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said, now watch this, this is important. "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Help yourself, big boy. Just come and take a look and see for yourself. Verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, saith unto him, "Behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under a fig tree, believest thou?" Question mark. "Thou shalt see greater things than these." Verse 51, he saith unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." What did he say, Brother Hatfield? He said unto Nathanael, "You're going to see more than you think you're going to see. You're going to do more than you think you're able to do. Why, you're going to see heaven open up and you're going to see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Jesus said to Nathanael, "There's miracles going on right now. but you don't see them. See, we do that in our lives. A few minutes ago, we had a song service. Now, be honest, you're the only one that knows the answer to this. But some hear the music, and very few hear the words. There is a major difference in how we see it in a church house. There is a major difference in how we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Because some hear the music and pat the foot. That's why all these praise churches are blooming up everywhere now. That's why they're growing right and left, because it is a manifestation of the flesh and not a spirit worshiping the God of heaven. And so, boy, they think they've hit the nail on the head. They're growing. God is well pleased with them. And they're making the same mistake the governor made, knew not whence it came. He said, Nathanael said to Philip, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Well, I know Nazareth. There's nothing good there. Nothing worth having is going to come out of Nazareth. Philip said, why don't you come and see? And when he met the Lord, his eyes were opened, and he said to Jesus, thou art the Christ, thou art the King of Israel. And I say to you tonight, church, that God is still performing miracles in Grace Baptist Church in this day and time. There is a loving, holy God that is blessing this church. But the difference is we miss it. The miracle passes right by us undetected. The miracle. But I'll tell you one thing tonight. Those servants didn't miss it. But those servants knew from whence it came. They watched that water turn red. They drew it out and probably did what the big rigs do. They spin it around and around and smelled of it. They had never seen anything like that before. It's a miracle that Brother Lawrence is still our preacher. It's a miracle that the deacons are still our deacons. It's a miracle that Miss Betty is still our organist. I watched her tonight, and it takes all four to play that thing. Both feet, both hands, and if you could get your ear down there, it'd get in on. I couldn't help but think about little Miss Deborah. As the many years that she sat there playing that instrument. It's a miracle. God has you in the presence of a miracle. And it's passing right by. The governor knew not from whence it came. But the servants knew. Those servants sure knew. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a governor. I want to be a servant. I want to be at the feet of Jesus. Jesus was out preaching one day, and Andrew came to him and said, you've been preaching a while. They're getting hungry. We can't feed them. Send them away that they may go and buy bread. Jesus said, they need not go away. And could you imagine Andrew thinking, Lord, What are we going to do? We got a real problem here. We're going to have to call men church, have a special prayer meeting. Lord God, we got a major problem breaking out here. And Jesus said something very simple, but profound. He said, what have ye? What have ye? What have ye? What do you have to offer me? What do you have? Andrew said, there's a little boy here, just a lad. He brought lunch, but what is that to so many? Jesus said, bring it to me. They brought the little lad's lunch. And Jesus stood before that congregation as they sat down in companies of 50. He reached in and pulled out a fish and said, pass it back.
Amen.
And he reached in and got another one and said, pass it back. And another one and said, pass it back. And another one, and said, pass it back, pass it back, pass it back. Would you like a little bread with your fish? Got some bread. Pass it back, pass it back, pass it back. And the miracle of God was occurring. Do you know the Bible says that same crowd came back to Jesus, and Jesus said, you just won't eat again, don't you? Amen. He asked them a question. What have ye? And 5,000 men, besides women and children, were fed with a lad's lunch. A miracle occurred. And there was a majority of those people missed the miracle. Went right over their head. You know what a miracle is? This week, we'll have 2 days of miracle camp meeting. But the question is, do you know whence it came? The governor knew not whence it came, but the servants knew. The servants knew. Israel is coming out of Egypt. And they're ready to cross over into Cana of Galilee. And just before they cross over, they come to a river that is called the Jordan River. And Joshua says, cross it. And I imagine when they took that Ark of the Covenant and those Levites that bore the Ark of the Covenant upon their shoulders, he said, y'all go first. One looked at the other one and said, he's kidding, ain't he? I mean, I'm talking about a river that was overflowing its banks. The speed of the water is approximately 120 miles per hour gushing down the river. And Joshua said, cross it. God wants us on the other side. 2.5 tribes said, we like it over here. We'll just stay on this side. They did stay on that side. But I've often wondered what those Levites did when they stood at the Jordan River. One probably looked over to the other, Brother Jay, and said, you go first. He looked back and said, not me, man, you go. He said, I'm not going off in that water. He said, but Joshua told us to take the ark to the other side. I tell you what, let's do. Let's both of us go together at the same time. Okay, I will if you will. It's a dare. And can you imagine when that first foot went in the water, it has feelings like, I'm going to drown, sure as the world, I'm going down. But he stepped anyway. And he looked down. He looked back over to the other Levite and said, did you see that? He said, it happened over here too. The water ran from my foot. I'm standing on dry ground. He said, let's take the other foot. He said, okay. So he put the other one down. He said, he did it again. The water ran from my foot. I'm standing on dry ground. Can you imagine? The first step was, oh no, I'm going to drown. Sure as a whirl, but here goes. And he stepped down. And the second one had a little confidence to it. And the third one was quite enjoyable. And the fourth one, he turns around and looks behind him and yells as loud as he can, come on in, boys. The water's fine. How come? Because a miracle just occurred. God performed a miracle. Some of them standing there knew not from whence it cometh. But those Levites knew. They stepped down in it. They trusted God to take one more step. I'm not asking you to make a 10-year commitment tonight. I'm just asking you, take one more step. Think you got one more step in you? Just one more is all I'm asking. And I promise you, by the time you've taken four steps, you will see that there are miracles occurring every day of your life. I'm preaching on seeing miracles. Let's stand and bow for prayer.